We're going to be reading from, first scripture I'll read is 1 Kings 17. And I'm probably going to read an excerpt from what I gave you in the media booth there. Verse 10 says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, and bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after for thee and for thy son. Praise God. I want to read from this scripture and preach from this scripture. And this just a thought that's been ringing in my head the past few days in preparation for this service. And I noticed that in this scripture, this woman was fixed on what she did not have, and the man of God, the representation of God's voice, was fixed on what she did have. Amen. In her house. And he asked for her to go prepare what she had in her house. And I want to preach from this story that there is bread in your house. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, look them in the eye, speak to them as if it was God speaking through you. Say, there is bread in your house. Amen. Let's go ahead, and if it's comfortable and appropriate for you to do so, grab the hand of the person next to you and lift it up to heaven and begin to pray for them that the Lord would speak expressly, directly, in this service today to the person standing next to you. Thank you, Lord God. We honor you. We honor your presence that is in this place. We honor your people. We honor your leadership that is in this local assembly, Lord God. We thank you for them. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in this place. We are so thankful for you giving us the privilege and the honor to seek you, to hear from you, to receive from you, Lord God. So, Lord, every person that is empty in this place, let them leave full. Every person that may be broken, let them leave healed. Every person, Lord, that is seeking, let them find you today in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah. We give you praise and honor and glory. And we praise you one more time with not just our hands, but our voice. We lift it up unto the Lord today, and we shout unto you with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated today. Hallelujah. I am reminded of a principle and an element of the original languages where the Old Testament, a large majority of the Old Testament was written, and it was in the Hebrew language. But I find it very interesting that in the Promised Land, in the place that God had given to his people to dwell, and to find rest and to establish themselves. Throughout that promised land, there were many cities and towns. Much of these cities and towns were of a certain kind of word structure. In the Hebrew language, the alphabet or aleph-bet, as they would call it, it's not just lettering to spell out words to speak and read, but they are also very similar to what we would know in ancient Egypt as hieroglyphics. There are pictographs. Each letter is also a picture representing something. And the letter A, or Aleph in Hebrew, is the picture of an ox. The letter B in this Hebrew language was the picture of a tent or a dwelling. And that letter B was called Bet. Now, this same Bet is what we find affixed to many of the cities in the Promised Land. We find a city called Bethesda. We would know of this city because this city was the place where there was a pool. And many that were gathered around this pool were seeking an angel to come and trouble the waters. But this term Bethesda, this word Bethesda, is a house of mercy or a house of pity, a house of a reservoir. But it starts with that prefix, something that is affixed to that name, Beth. And that name, Bet, means dwelling place or house. In those days in ancient Hebrew culture, most times, because they were Bedouin people, they dwelt in tents. Tents were their house. So this Bethesda was the house of mercy, or Bethany, which is the house of dates. Bethpage, the house of early or unripe figs. Bethsaida, the house of fruits. We might have heard of Bethel, which is the house of God. But I find it very interesting that there was one city that was very significant to the people of Israel. In Genesis chapter 35, verse 19, the Bible tells us that Rachel, who was one of the wives of Jacob, died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, or that is synonymous with Ephraim, which is Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 tells us, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah," synonymous with Ephrath or Ephraim, "though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me," that is to be ruler in Israel, "whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." This city, this significant place, Bethlehem, was called this name because it was the house of bread. Many of us would know that this was a birthplace of a very significant figure in the scriptures, but it was also called the city of David. David was from Bethlehem, or the house of bread. But this would be the place where God would choose to raise up a Savior. And so Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.'" I'm going to skip down to verse 4. The Bible says that when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes together, he demanded of them where this Christ child would be born. And they said unto him, "In the house of bread." in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, that shall rule my people Israel. There was very big significance to this particular city because it was a place where kings would be born. It was a place where the King of Kings would be born. Hallelujah. And I don't find it very coincidental that it was called the House of Bread. Hallelujah. Because Jesus represents something very significant to our spiritual well-being. So we're reading this scripture in the book of Kings, and we see that there is a woman here that is a widow woman. And the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in verse 8 and said, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. For I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to this city. He went and came to the gate, and behold, he saw this woman. And the Bible says he asked her to bring him some water. And as she was going to get this water, he also asked her to bring him some bread. Now this woman began to think about what she had in her house. And it was a time of great dearth. It was a time of famine. So there was lack in all of the homes, all of the houses in the land at that time. And she began to think about what she had in this request that was given to her by this man of God. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Hallelujah. I come to preach to somebody on this Sunday morning that you may look at what you have in your home and you may feel like there is some things that are missing. There are some people that are missing. There are some things that you wish that you had at this time, but I've come to preach to you, all you have is all you need. You're looking at the request and the things that are asked of you, and you look at what you have right now and you don't think you measure up. You don't think you'll be able to fulfill the call and request that came from the man of God or by way of God. Hallelujah. But I've come to tell somebody that God still has a use for what you have left in your home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you might not think it's much, but that little handful of meal that you have is enough. Hallelujah. The little bit of oil that you have is enough. Hallelujah. Do not despise the day of small things, because when you look at what you have, and you might not think it's much, little is much when it's put into the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you back up from your call. Don't you back up, hallelujah, from what God has requested from you. What you've got is all you've need to fulfill. Hallelujah. What God is requiring of you and asking of you. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that Elijah said to her, "Fear not. Don't let anxiety get a hold of you. Do not begin to fear and begin to cause doubtful thoughts to begin to come into your mind to persuade you other than what the Lord had already spoken to you." Hallelujah. You see, when you receive a word from the Lord, sometimes time will cause the word of the Lord to be tried in you. Hallelujah. And then you begin to look at your resources. You begin to look at what you've got. Hallelujah. And God is sending a message that is clear and direct this morning to somebody's family, to somebody's marriage, to somebody's home. You're looking at what you've got and you don't think it will last. You think you're at your wit's end. You think you're at the bottom of your barrel, but God has sent me to tell you all you've got is all you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, I've got a little bit, but it's enough. Hallelujah. You got a little bit of meal, but it's enough. You got a little bit of oil, but it's enough. You're looking at what other people have, and you're thinking, I got to have what they've got. You don't need what they got. You don't need what you got. Hallelujah. And if you got just a little bit of oil, hallelujah, you might not have the walk with God you used to have, but if you still got something, you can give it unto the Lord. You might not have the prayer life you used to have, but the little that you've got, if you just give it in the hands of God, little is... Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might not have anything else, but you've got bread. You've got bread. You've got oil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, do as thou hast said. Bring it to me first. Make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son. Therein lied the word of faith, because she herself said all she had was just enough for her to eat and die. But the man of God said, you've got enough. Turn to somebody and tell them, you've got enough. Look in your house. Hallelujah. What do you have in your house? Hallelujah. You've got enough to make me first. And when you obey the word of the Lord, you'll have enough for yourself. For thus saith the Lord God, hear the word of the Lord today. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither your cruse of oil will fail. I have a word of the Lord for somebody that's on the edge. The oil will not fail. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to be encouraged this morning that the oil will not run out when you begin to give it in the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You think you're about to die, but you've got something that's going to sustain you. You're looking at all these external things that you think you need to continue your journey. Hallelujah. And God is looking at you and saying, what do you got? What do you have left? Hallelujah. Because if you can use what you've got and you can put it in my hands, I'm going to multiply what you give me. I'm going to multiply what you give me. Why? Because God knows what to do with what you have left. He knows how to multiply what you give him in his hands. This is why we see this miracle in the New Testament. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 35, that when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. This is a dry place. This is a barren place. And now the time is far past. Send them away. Send all these people away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing. They have nothing to eat. Hallelujah. You see, they were looking at what their eyes could see in the natural, and they felt like the people had nothing. And Jesus answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, what do you have left? You said they they got nothing. But look again. Hallelujah. You're looking at what the little you've got and you're calling it nothing. And God is looking at what you've got and he said, that's enough. If you just bring it here, if you just put it, if you put it in the altar, if you put it in the hands of God, it will be enough. Lift your hands right now. I feel the Lord reaching for somebody. Hallelujah. And you're thinking, I'm going to begin to give up. I'm going to just cancel this. I'm going to go a different direction. Hallelujah. The Lord says, stop. Hear the word of the Lord. Stop. And look at what you've got left. The little you have is enough to fulfill the call that I've given you. The little you have is enough to sustain you. You'll survive. You'll be able to move on. You've got enough. You've got enough if you just give it to Jesus. Lift your hands right now. Hallelujah. I understand that I'm speaking to homes. I'm speaking to families. I'm speaking to marriages. Hallelujah. That many of you have been through measures of brokenness and measures, hallelujah, things that have caused you to feel like there's nothing left and you don't have much to offer the kingdom. You don't have much to give to God. Why even come to church? Why live for God? Hallelujah. But this preacher was sent here to tell you, look again. Hallelujah. You're looking at what's left and you're saying it's nothing, but it's not nothing in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is looking at what you call nothing and he's saying, that's something to me if you just bring it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're looking at other families. You're looking at other situations. You're looking at other household structures and you're wishing you had this. You're a single parent and you're wishing you had that. And there's nothing wrong with wishing for what God says is good and God says is complete and what God deems to be ordained to complete the structure of what he has established as the house. Hallelujah. So if you're a single mom, you're a single dad, hallelujah, and you're wanting that completion, that's not a bad thing to want what God said was good. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you right now that even if you don't have it, all you have, oh God, hallelujah, is all you need for God to perform a miracle in your life. Hallelujah. Don't you look at, oh hallelujah, don't look at what you've got and say it's nothing. God says you've got something. Hallelujah. You've got something there that I can use. So he said, how many loaves have you? They went and looked. When they knew, they said, we've got five and we've got two fishes. He commanded them to make all sit down. My company's on the green grass. I find it very interesting that in a desert place, there's miracles that you don't even realize are under your feet right now. And you're fixated on the lack. And you're surviving in a place that would have taken out many others. There are many other people that if met with the adversity that you have met, they would not be living right now. They probably would have ended their own lives. Hallelujah. They would have given up at the very least on their walk with God. But here you are in the house of God. Hallelujah. And you may be in a barren place, but the ground under your feet, right where you're sitting, it's not dry, it's not barren. This house is not a barren place. You came to the right place, and the grass is greener when you get in the presence of the Lord. Yes, Jesus said, make them sit down. He makes them lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah. He is allowing them to take rest in a barren place, in a dry place, but where they sit, hallelujah, it's not barren and it's not dry. Hallelujah. Everybody else in the vicinity, hallelujah, that is not a part of what they are doing, it's probably dry and it's probably barren, just like you. Everybody else around you, maybe your co-workers, maybe family members, maybe people that you frequent on a regular basis, maybe going through something similar, but it does not look like where you are, because you are seated amongst the presence of the King. Feel a word to minister to the body right now. Hallelujah. Made them to sit upon the green grass, sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties, and when he had taken what they found that they still had, he blessed it, break the loaves, gave it to them, gave to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the people. And the Bible says they did all eat and were filled. They didn't just get enough. They were filled, and there was a whole lot left than what they started with. They started with what may have seemed like a handful, but the Bible says that they left with baskets full. Why is this so significant? Because the one doing the miracle knows how to multiply the bread. You just gotta get to the right house. Because when you're in the right house, there will be bread. Hallelujah. And the right house is the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Why? Because this is the house of God. This is where Jesus is. And when you get to the house where Jesus is, there is always going to be bread in the house as long as Jesus is in the house. What are you talking about? Jesus is not just the person that you will meet in the house. It's the body that you will eat in the house. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall, somebody say never, shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Skip down to verse 51, John chapter 6. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Now he's not telling them that he's just some ambiguous abstract figure of a bread, but he is calling their resonance and remembrance to a bread that fell from heaven. And they would remember that the bread that fell from heaven was the bread that the Israelites ate when they were wandering around aimlessly in their wilderness, and there was bread that began to fall from heaven. He says, I am that bread. When you need it, I'll begin to come down in your midst. If you're hungry enough, I'll bless you. I'll fill you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled with the bread of life. Hallelujah. Before you leave today, it is the will and intent of the master of this house that you would leave full. Of the bread of life, the bread of heaven. Hallelujah. This was the bread that they would gather in the wilderness. The Bible says it would fall fresh each day. They would gather it. He said, don't only take enough what you need for that day, because I'm going to give you fresh bread every day. Hallelujah. I come to preach to somebody. Hallelujah. God wants to give you fresh bread every day. Hallelujah. In this season of your walk with God, you're not going to have to rely on yesterday's move and last week's touch. But God wants to give you fresh bread every day. Hallelujah. So they would gather that bread, and on the sixth day, he would give them a double, oh, hallelujah, double portion of that bread so they could rest on the seventh day. And I feel like God just wants to rain down what you need in this house right now. Hallelujah. And what you need in this house is not what other people have outside. It's the bread of life. Hallelujah. That's why it was so significant that the baby would be born in the house of bread. Because God was sending a signal to the whole world, you will never have to go hungry again. So somebody's longing, somebody's yearning, and God is reaching for you, telling you, you don't have to wander around hungry. You're in the right house. This is the house of God. This is Bethlehem. This is the house of bread where Jesus dwells. Now, the problem lies in the fact that some people don't have Jesus in their house. And so that's why some people can walk around still hungry and starving in their spirit, because you've been filling up on everything else, snacking on them spiritual GMOs. It looks like bread, it tastes like bread, but it has no nutritional value. But when you eat of this bread, when you taste and see, hallelujah, that the Lord is good, there's a blessing attached to your hunger for the right bread. You've trusted in a lot of things. You've trusted in your career. You've trusted in your finances. You've trusted in other people and their carnal advice. But somebody needs to get in the presence of God and say, Lord, feed me till I want no more. I don't just want to be full. I want to be filled to overflowing. So, Lord, I open myself to receive from you today. Lift your hands in this house. You're looking at what you've got. Keep your hands lifted. You're saying, it's just meal. It's just oil. You're asking me for bread, and all I've got is the scraps of ingredients that could possibly be. All I've got is a possibility. God says, go and make it. Put it together and put it in my hands. Hallelujah. There's a miracle in this house. Somebody needs to get their wits about them and begin to drive out every doubtful thought and every ounce of fear that is trying to grip you and bind you from making a move and responding to the voice of the Lord that you ever so sought. And here it is. God is telling you, you don't have to live one more day on empty. You can leave full. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. The Lord has sent me to tell you, your marriage doesn't have to be empty. You can leave full. Your home doesn't have to be empty and void of love and trust. You can leave full. You can leave full. But you need to get in the right house. Jesus in that house. Come on, lift your hands right now. The Lord, hallelujah, is about to move in this place. Stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. It is the will of God to fill you to overflowing. Hallelujah. It is the will of God to fill you to overflowing. Lift your hands in this house as you're standing. It is the will of God to fill you to overflowing. It is the will of God to fill you to overflowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But some of you in this house have been plagued by filling your appetite of the spirit with things just inflate you. It is not filling you. It is inflating you where you'll look full on the outside. You look fine and put together on the outside. You look like everything is all right, but on the inside is full of nothing. And God is telling you today, it is my will that every one of you would leave full. Hallelujah, every hand lifted up. I open this altar to someone, hallelujah, that is bold enough to say, Lord, I am not full. And I am determined not to leave just looking like I'm filled. But I need you to fill every empty part. Bread of heaven is about to fall in this room. This church is a house of bread. It's where you can come and never have to leave hungry. You don't to leave.